This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that I gave that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost. And so that the scripture might be fulfilled, but now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What God showed the church moms. At our recent Synod Assembly, we had theologian Barbara Lundblad, who was doing some Bible study on some passages of the Old Testament and connecting them in with the history of our church here in the United States. And it reminded me that I knew of this same history. When I was first beginning as a pastor, I served four little congregations in western North Dakota, churches that were built by immigrants fresh from Europe. They had traveled out west following the promise of land and the Homestead Act, riding the rails. Three of the churches that I served were on old water stops on the railroad. They grew there in the midst of fields and farms. They were built, and they were built by women. I don't mean that women did the bricklaying and all of that, though they might have. What I mean is that in the histories of those congregations, as is true in congregations around our country, the first fundraisers for the church building, the first people to see what God needed in that place, that the people of God needed a gathering place, needed a place to come together and be family, were the church moms, the women in the church. They raised funds, gathering them from quilt auctions and bake sales and things called egg Sundays, where they would bring eggs from the chickens that they raised to sell, and they would bring all that money together, and that money was often the down payment on the church building. Women in the church saw what God was doing in their community and knew it needed a home. and women in the church saw their capacity in a world 100 years ago that really didn't value their economic contribution to the world, that didn't value their voice in the same way. And yet they valued their voice. They knew what God could do through them, and through this work that was often so overlooked, they began the church. And they didn't just begin those little congregations. They enabled the church to transition away from the state-sponsored churches of Europe to churches that existed on a structure driven purely by the donations of those who believed in the work of the mission that they were doing together. Women were doing this work. They knew their value in a world that didn't always, and they showed what they could offer in a church that many times kept them out. I was a pastor there and still had on one of my church councils the first woman who had ever served on the church council at that church, and the first woman who had served as president of the church council. Women had power, even though the church didn't always recognize it. Jesus had power, even though the world didn't always recognize it, or in fact was antagonistic towards it. As Jesus prays with his disciples on the night that he has already been betrayed, Judas has already left, the one who is lost has already departed. Jesus is saying to his remaining disciples, I am being on my way now. I will no longer be in the world for much longer. Because the world, it doesn't seem to like me. It doesn't value the love that I have to give. But even though I am going, I want you to know that my word to you, that myself and my love for you will carry on. Jesus prays to God, I have given them your word. I have given these disciples your word. And if we remember at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we know who that word is. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God, this your word that Jesus has given them is Jesus himself. Jesus gives himself to them so that that word might live on in the heart of every person who gives themselves away in love in the same way. And that the experience of Christ incarnate might continue through this divine ultimate example of love. Jesus sanctifies them to then go on and carry that love to the world. For Jesus sends them into the world. And that's an interesting part of this too. Jesus, as he sends these disciples into the next phase of their discipling existence, as Jesus sends them out, he doesn't just send them to the easy places. He doesn't send them back to their families or the relationships that they already have, but sends them out to the world, to the whole world. Where are you sent? Where do you feel called to go in your walk of faith? Where is Jesus sending you? On this Mother's Day, I want to think about the example of mothers, church mothers, And as I shared one from our past in this country, I want to share another one from longer ago. A saint, St. Julian of Norwich, who was commemorated this week. She lived in the 15th century, in the year, in the turn of the century, around the year 1400. She died in 1417. She lived in England during a time of great disease and plague. The Black Death was everywhere. And Julian feared that she had caught it. She was dying. Though now those who look back on it wonder if it wasn't the plague that she was afflicted with, but a broken heart. Julian lived in a world where estimates say anywhere from one-third to one-half of all people living died from this rampant plague. Julian would have seen those who contracted this disease fall sick, be beyond the attempts of any cure, and ultimately have to be grieved in death. Those who got the plague, they did not survive. That's just how it went. We all fall down, as the nursery rhyme goes. And so Julian, as she laid there on her bed, it is thought she was heartbroken. Those that she had loved had died. Perhaps a parent. Perhaps a cousin, perhaps siblings, perhaps children. We don't know much about her. We don't even know her real name. We just know that she was a woman who survived death, who in her drawing close to death had what we would now call a near-death experience. Whereas the priest was holding the cross and the crucifix above her face and encouraging her to pray and to look on Jesus as she died so that to Jesus her soul might go, she saw in the face of Jesus' suffering a glow and a love. It was as if Jesus came alive on that cross and Jesus showed her things. These showings were written down. There was a recorded 16 of these mystical experiences that God showed Julian there on what she thought was her deathbed. And in these, St. Julian saw this beautiful, beautiful love that grew out of the love of God, and that in the love of God heard her say these words, "All shall be well, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." She saw, in spite of all of this, pain and suffering, in spite of her broken heart at those that she loved and cared about, that there was yet a God who loved her, who loved the world, and wanted to love the world through her. As she came out of this experience of death, she dedicated the rest of her life to writing and praying and thinking on these experiences, to writing them down so that they might benefit the wider church. And in them, as she contemplated on these things, as she lived as an anchoress in a little shack beside St. Julian's Church in Norwich, she pondered what she had seen. She pondered the love of God. During one of her showings, she writes, "I had desired in this scene where God opened himself to me, where God showed me everything, showed me every aspect of his passion, showed me every aspect of the world and of creation. I desired in this enormous view to learn assuredly about a certain creature that I loved." She wanted to know if someone that she cared for in her life was okay. God didn't show her that. And this is what she writes about that. In this desire for a singular showing, it seemed that I hindered myself, for I was not taught in this time. And then was I answered, as if it were by a friendly intervener. Take it generally, and behold the graciousness of the Lord God as he showeth it to thee. For it is more worship to God to behold him in all than in any special thing. And therewith I learned that it is no more worship to God to know all thing in general than to take pleasure in any special thing. And if I should do wisely according to this teaching, I should not only be glad for nothing in special, but I should not be greatly distressed for no manner of thing, for all shall be well. For the fullness of joy is to behold God in all. Jesus sanctifies himself, giving himself to the world in love, seeing the entire world and every single person in it who has ever lived, who ever will live, as worthy and valuable of love. And in seeing that fullness of love in the whole world, Jesus gave himself away in the fullness of that love to the fullness of the world, to every sinner, to every person who's ever made a mistake, to those who think they don't live up, even to those who think they do. God gives himself away. And on this Mother's Day, may God live on in you. For the Word of God lives on in the hearts of every person that gives themselves away in love. So give yourself away to your mothers today, to your children, to your friends, to the women in your life, to the men, to those who don't identify by either of those genders. Give yourself away in love to the whole world, and may the love of God live on in you. Amen.